sing it all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number. Yes, okay. All right, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, you find the place you're able to stand, and we'll look there in that chapter there for a moment. Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, verse 1. And Moses called all of Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Now, Father, bless the word to every heart. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. And we thank you, Lord, that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Save the lost, we pray thee, and lift up the downhearted. We'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to say to you that as we begin to look into this lesson that's here this morning, is that God's given us the word of the Lord that we might learn it and that we might keep it, that we might do it. And let me tell you right now, to listen, learn, and keep the word of the Lord and do what he had to say is certainly going to keep us a very busy people. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that as a father, you and I have a duty. We've got a lot of men here that are fathers, that we have a duty to our family. Not only to be an example unto them and to be able to come to the house of God and to show them by example, not just by exhortation. Not son, you ought to go, or daughter, you ought to do this, but by example, what we ought to do in the sight of the Lord. I was thinking about, you know, and we're going to be baptizing a young man tonight. As many of you that have gotten saved in days gone by and follow the Lord in baptism. And let me say to you that, if you will, that somebody's had some influence upon you. Hopefully it's your mom and your dad, or your dad and your mom. Hopefully it goes beyond that to grandpa and grandma. Hopefully it goes beyond that, Sunday school teachers and so forth and on. You know, somebody don't just raise up and grow up by themselves. They're influenced by others that are round about them. Sometimes the influence is good. Sometimes the influence is not so good. I got to say to you, and I don't want to mess up a good sermon because I'm working on one now about people that are being bribed and people that are selling out and all that business. Do you know it's easy that if you're not careful to sell out to the world, the flesh, and the devil? I mean, it is. You can be in the place where that if somebody does something good for you and they're just a God-cussing heathen, now you're going to show favoritism to them. Yeah, you see, what you're doing is you're being bribed. See that? As a result of that is that you'll find that in the Bible that we ought to recognize and realize is that we're trying what we can to be influential to many boys and girls and young men and young women for the cause of Christ. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that we've got a duty to lead our family. Let me say to you that, if you will, is that the best way you'll ever be able to be influential to your family is by a good example. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that if a man knows the Lord in the free pardon of sin, it's a personal thing. In other words, here's what God, through Moses, here's what God said in the Pentateuch here that we've read, is that, or at least in part of it we've read, but what happens is that you'll find that God wants us to know that we're not talking about people that God gave the word of the Lord to way back when. We're talking about us that are right now that are alive. The word's just alive right now that it was the day that it was given long before you and I and our ancestors ever came into this world. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that it's a personal thing that you know the Lord. You know, the Bible gives in this whole chapter that's here, he rehearses the Ten Commandments. Now, we're not going to take time to be able to look at all of that. But did you ever notice in the world that we're living in, and it's gotten, in fact, it's gotten into the church, not particularly this church, but I'm talking about as a whole across the country. And what it is that it plagues them because they're looking for something that is positive all the way around. I've literally had people that's told me in days gone by, you know, you just need to be a little more positive. And I said, do you ever read the Ten Commandments? If you read the Ten Commandments, you know there's Ten Commandments and they're pretty sharp. And on all these Ten Commandments hangs the rest of the law and the prophets and so forth and on. Did you know that the Ten Commandments, that 80% of them are negative? That means 8 out of 10 of them are negative. There's only 2 of the 10 that are positive. That's the reason why that it doesn't appeal to this positive thinking world that we're in. See? In fact, is do you realize, though, the day you got saved, every time somebody gets up and they're too nice, you've got such a nastiness about you? No, you don't. No, you don't. The flesh don't like that negative stuff that's brought out from the Word of the Lord, but you'd better take heed to it, because 80% of what God said in the commandments is a negative thing. And if you're going to dump around, get rid of all the negativity. I just want to get rid of some of this negative stuff. Well, you're going to have to get rid of 80% of the Ten Commandments. See, nobody looks at that in the day we live in. The average Baptist preacher's not going to say nothing about it, because if they did, they'd lose their congregation and a lot of their donors and people that gave. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, the Bible said that man that knows the Lord, you know, every now and again, we ought to be able to, our children, they ought to be able to be able to involve in conversation, and it ought to finally end up, hey, Daddy, are you saved? I got saved. Are you saved, Daddy? It ought to sometimes, hey, Mama, I'm glad I'm saved. Are you a saved person, Mama? See that? And let me say, that doesn't come accidentally. That's going to be able to come by your influence. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, and you're going to find out, is that the Bible teaches us that this is not written for people that have done long dead and gone. This is written for you and I that are alive and that are well, that are influential to a family. Let me say to you is that it's always good to be able to provoke conversation. You know, every time God has delivered us from some kind of car wreck, narrow escape, every time God does something like that, it'd be nice that if you and I would acknowledge how good God's been to save us out of that. Hey, do you see that son? Do you see that daughter? Had it not been for the grace of God, we'd be involved in that tragic accident that we're looking at on the highway. There may be somebody that's been raised up out of the jaws of death as a result of that. And by the way, let me say to you, is that in this day and hour that we're living in, is that this is a depressing time, no doubt about it. And no doubt we've been hit a lick more than one time, but not one of these people that we're talking about, not one of them do we have to, we're just crying because we miss them. We're just crying because our heart aches for their companionship. But we're not crying because they've left this world. They've gone to be in heaven, to be in a better place. And let me tell you, that's hard to be able to grab hold of sometimes. But nonetheless, we believe God. And if you do believe God, then you have to believe that's what God says in the Bible about our loved ones that have been taken on and promoted to the other side. I got some kin folks that I can promise you right now is they would never need to be embalmed because they've drank so much whiskey and beer all their life. If they're not pickled already, you're not going to pickle them. But these are the kind of people that whenever they leave the world, you've got a right to cry. Because of the fact that they've not gone to heaven, they went straight to hell. And what a sad commentary that is. I've even had some of my kin folks to tell me, whenever I leave this world, don't try to preach me into heaven because I know I'm a wicked person and I'm going to hell. And they knew that, but then didn't want to do nothing about it. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find out that we ought to remember where God brought us from, where we would have been and could have been had it not been for the grace of God. We need to rehearse that in the ears of our family. We need to rehearse that by the good example. Listen, when you come to the house of God, I was remembered just now remembered it. But I remember years ago that I heard this back when I first started out preaching. And there was a man that couldn't read and write his name in boxcar letters. And every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and Wednesday night, he got his Bible, stuck it under his arm. And it was old, it was worn, and it was tattered, and this and that. And one of the men that was an agnostic that didn't believe God in the Bible, one of the men that were lived next to him, one day went out there and met him. And as a result of that, and he said, "Hey, I've noticed that you got a Bible. It looks like it's worn and tattered some." And he said, "I know you can't read nor write your name in boxcar letters. Who are you trying to kid with that? Trying to make people think you can read?" He said, "No, sir. Many years ago, somebody seen I didn't have a Bible, and they gave me a Bible. And you're right, I can't read not one word of it. But I felt like God was so good to me that I ought to at least count the pages every day. So I'm not trying to put on a front. I'm just thankful that God loved me enough." I want to say to you that, if you will, that people ought to be able to see us busy about the Father's business. Doesn't matter how much you can read or if you can't read. I had a man one time that could barely read and write his name. But I believe he knew God. And I want to tell you something, make no mistake about it, is that when you look into the Bible and find out is that this is the kind of leadership that we're needing, is that in this country we need somebody that loves God and the Bible and good and right and moral and decent. And we need somebody like that, but we instead will just settle for who we've got. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find we ought to rehearse it in the ears, not only of our family, but those that are around about us. I'll tell you something. We ought to talk about how good God is. And let me tell you and show what God's done. And let me tell you right now. I was noticing the other day, and I was looking at this little boy right there in the red shirt and with tubes and stuff like that, needles in him. And I thought about how good God's been. I looked at some of these other boys here. I remember when they were born into the world. And now some of them are born into the family of God. What a good thing that it is to rehearse how good God's been and what God's done in the behalf of our family and our children and, yea, our grandchildren. I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, it's our job to be able to point our children to that man that was talked about over there in Samuel. You remember when Goliath came out defying the armies of the living God? Remember that? And do you remember that whenever he finally said, "Listen, I'm a Philistine, and how about you choosing you out a man to come and fight with me?" I want to tell you something, Daddy and Mama. It's our job to point who that man is. Now, we know that back literally that it was David that picked up that sling and that pocket full of rocks and ran out there to face that giant that had a big old sword and all the armor that you could put upon a man. And let me tell you right now is that whenever he got up and defied, he was talking about the ultimate representative of the universe, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And let me tell you right up front that, make no mistake about it, David is the power of God upon his heart and his life. But let me say to you that while he slung that stone and killed that giant and used his own sword to cut his head off and hold it up, make no mistake about it that our Lord is able to save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. If you'd come to, it's our job, Daddy. It's our job, Mama, to point out who that man is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out serving the God is ought to be something that we do acceptably. You know, the only acceptable way to serve God is by chapter, book, and verse from his own word that he's given us. It's our job to prove what is good and what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. It's our job to do that. Now, I want to say to you, when God says that we're to put no other gods before him, that means that we better seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because let me tell you right now is he's looking at how you treat the word and how you act upon it. And people ought to see you going to the house of God with your family. And I'm not talking about every now and again. I'm talking about on a regular basis. You know, the Bible tells us in this same chapter, and we're not going to take time. You can read the whole thing when you get on. But over at about verse number 12, about remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, that we ought to realize that it means something in the day and hour that we're living in. I tell you all the time, there's not two people, there's not three people, there's not 10 people that you can get that like to deer hunt and fish more than I do. But I don't deer hunt and fish on Sunday. Let me say to you that, if you will, that when God looks at the Sabbath, He made it for our rest. And let me say to you that we ought to keep it holy. And He didn't talk about the seventh day of the week, but He talked about the seventh day after that we've had 6 days of labor. Now, you know the reason why God didn't say the seventh day of the week? You know why He didn't say that? It would have been the Saturday from now on. But see, God knew He was going to change it. Somebody's going to come along one of these days and say, "Do you realize and know that the Sabbath's a Saturday?" Yeah, yeah. "Then why do y'all meet on Sunday?" A Jew changed it. His name is Jesus Christ. You can read about it in Leviticus, about chapter number 23. But you can read about it and the prophecy that it was going to be changed. And resurrection morning, but it's the first day of the week. And that's the reason why we worship in spirit and truth on this fine Sunday and every first day of the week. I got to say to you that, if you will, in this Bible lesson, you're going to find out God said, "I want you to get all your work done. I don't want you to have nothing dangling. And I don't want you to let your son, your daughter, your maid, your man, or anybody out there, even the oxen, are not to be able to plow and do this and that or grist mill or work on the Lord's day. There's to be no work," verse 14 said, "but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord." And I want to say to you, your son, your daughter, your servants, and all of that, and the rest that they're going to need, God provided the Sabbath for that. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in verse 15, we ought to remember that thou wast in the land of Egypt. You ever stop and just think about when God saved you and where He brought you from, where you would have been had it not been for the grace of God? I don't know about you, but every now and again, I like to just sit around and think about when God snatched me as a brand from the burning. And let me say to you that, if you will, what a good feeling that it is to be set free from the shackles of sin and the shackles of self and the shackles of Satan. I'll tell you something, it's good to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Now in verse 22, the Bible talked about that these are words of the Lord spake unto all of our assembly. Do you know the Scripture is the word of the Lord? Over in the book of Romans, the Bible says the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might be obedient and keep therein. The Bible says that when you begin to look into this here, that 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, that it was written for our sakes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible was written for our admonition. You know, sometimes the word of the Lord makes us feel good, makes us feel strong. Sometimes it makes us feel like we just need to be cleansed. And let me say to you, that's a normal thing. Be sensitive unto the mind of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says, and is profitable for doctrine. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out God has given us not only the word of the Lord, but the sure word of prophecy, that we might take heed thereunto. In getting ready to close here, let me say to you, when God gave the Ten Commandments, you can read about it in verse 22 of the same chapter here, "The words of the Lord spake unto all of your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire and the cloud and thick darkness and a great voice, and He added no more, and He wrote them in two tables of stone," look at that, "and He delivered them unto me." Now what God done was, is that whenever He wrote the Ten Commandments, He put them on stone, something that'd be lasting. And not only that, but something that'd be permanent. And not only that, something that's not going to be changed. Do you ever notice whenever you're looking at the Word of the Lord, now all these other versions of the Bible that are out there on the market, did you ever notice is that whenever you're looking at the Word of the Lord and they one of these other versions have omitted part of it or changed it up and this and that, it's because they don't believe that what God said that He meant back when He said it. And you and I believe that God would not be God if He did change His mind. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that God's not changing it. Over in Psalms 119, verse number 89, He said, "Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven." God got it settled for eternity. I'm not going to have to worry about next week coming back or tonight and saying, "Hey, folks, newsflash, God's changed His mind about what He said all these many years." You're not going to have to worry about that. Somebody said years ago that what we need with the Bible, we don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it and just believe what God had to say. Somebody told me and said, well, you know, I have a hard time believing. I have a hard time understanding the Word of the Lord. Now, hold on a minute, man. It's written in third grade English. See that? It's not written to where that you've got to have. Somebody said, well, you know, I need something that's as readable as the Sears and Roebuck catalog. You notice Sears out of business? Did you notice that? I got to tell you right now, if I'm looking to buy something and to find a bargain, I don't mind a little bit of newspaper reading. But when I get ready for something for my soul, I need the blessed word of the Lord that comes from the divine hand of God. I want to get ready to close by saying this right here. That's the reason why in the day and hour that we're living in, according to verse number 32 and verse number 33 of this same chapter that's here, you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you, and you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Look at that. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, and that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that there may that it may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. That's the reason why in the day we live in that we need a Bible preacher. We need somebody that's heaven sent and hell proof, and certainly that has built upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. What are you waiting on? Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never made it open. I've never made that commitment and all that business. Well, that's the reason we give an invitation every now and again to give you an opportunity for that. And later on, whenever God's tugging at your heartstrings and on your heart's door and knocking on it, you ought to somehow or another, by faith, receive him and then be let it known to others that are around about you. While we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our Father, thank you for loving us even while we have been unlovable. We praise you and we thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now bless these families that have gathered here today. Lord, may you hug us up real.